Welcome to this week's edition of Education Transformation, hosted by Lee and Kate Ridge. This week's subject is on the topic of student work placement. So Kate, today we're joined by a special guest and friend of the podcast, Louise, who is a lecturer in your adult education institution.
Yes, Louise is a very experienced lecturer and she has a special role within the program, and her expertise is around vocational placement or work placement.
Yeah, so work placement for students, and a pretty big network from what I understand across the state.
So she leads and, you know, facilitates their learning as well.
Yeah, so that's engagement with the students while they're on placement, and then also with the host employers.
It is.
So that triangulation of discussion throughout. Yeah. Great conversation. I've already had the privilege of listening in. It's on location, live and on delay, at an adult education institution near you. So you will hear some students in the background, but that's all the ambience of the discussion, isn't it? That's what it's all about.
It is. It's all about the students.
So let's sit back, let's listen to it again. I look forward to it.
So thanks, Louise, for joining me for our discussion today. So we're looking at vocational placement, which, you know, sometimes it's called work experience, vocational placement.
Mm-hmm.
There's a variety of terms, but in way of benefits for students. And I know you have a lot of experience
Thank you.
That area. But just to begin with, perhaps you could tell us a bit about yourself and your career and your education experience before we begin.
Sure, thanks, Kate. I'm a registered nurse. I'm also a lecturer in the Diploma of Nursing qualification. I've got a Bachelor of Nursing. I've also done some studies in adult education. I've worked mainly in rural hospitals, in the ward, on the emergency department, and in general practice as a registered nurse, and a lecturer with the Diploma of Enrolled Nursing for quite a few years. I do have a particular interest in clinical placement, and I have that portfolio within the Diploma, and link that as a preceptor also into industry as well.
So just looking kind of at education in general, has there been one person or one situation that's kind of drawn you into the education sector?
I've always liked the link between education and industry. I think that it's actually one of the most important links that we can actually have, because it teaches our students what they need to be when they want to become a nurse as such. But for me, I had a clinical facilitator at university that really took an interest in me as a student. They challenged my thinking. They enabled me to self-reflect and then engage back into my learning. And I think probably by having that support, having that person who was interested in me as a student, has really sort of made me go, I really want to do that and make sure that the students I have in my working capabilities as a registered nurse are very much supported in what they're actually wanting to learn.
It's, you know, work experience and work placements are such an integral part of vocational education. And, you know, nursing is unique. You know, there are some other industries that have a lot of vocational placement, but nursing has a lot. You know, we'll look at nursing, but also, you know, we can transfer this these benefits to other professions as well.
Absolutely.
So out of, you know, looking at placements, what's the benefits to students participating in work placements?
I think it's that transfer of skills and the ability to be able to put theory into practice, and also having that exposure to the latest industry initiatives, utilising evidence-based practice to be able to do that and find those links between those sort of things. Also looking at developing work skills, you know, putting some of those clinical tasks into practice, which often require those gross and fine motor skills, you know, finding that dexterity of, you know, how to draw up a medication or put a Band-Aid on or whatever it might be. You know, some of those things can be really tricky to be able to get hold of and do. But, you know, all importantly too is looking at those employability skills. So, you know, such as attitude, work ethic, teamwork, time management, decision-making capabilities, and even conflict resolution. Being able to practice in real life situations rather than a simulated environment even. And all of those sort of things really do make a big difference.
I think what you're saying there about, you know, the employability skills, often, you know, they're easily missed. You know, we teach, you know, regardless of what industry we're teaching in or our vocational area, you know, we're very focused on those industry skills, you know, how to do a X. And although we know we have to incorporate employability skills, it's very hard or not so easy in a simulated environment. So, you know, to look at vocational placement or work experience as a great opportunity to develop those skills, especially for our young learners and school leavers, because they may have been exposed to those situations before.
So gives that opportunity to see what it's like to be in that particular work environment and grow in it as well.
You know, having to get up and be on time and be accountable, you know.
Exactly.
You know, they're so important for employment in the future. So what do you think makes a good work placement? What type of things are involved in that?
I think initially a good orientation to the actual facility or workplace that you're actually going into. Knowing where to find things, knowing who to actually go back to and ask if they need to find something. Having someone who's actually very welcoming. You know, when you've got someone who wants to see you and is excited to see you in their workplace as a student on placement is also a really good way to start a placement.
It's really, really discouraging if you go as a student and no one wants you there.
That's right. And you know, and no one's bothered to tell you where the toilet is, you know. And so it's those sort of things that make a huge difference in whether that placement's actually going to be successful or whether it's going to be bearable. Also, as far as making a good placement, is being prepared as the student, understanding what that placement is and the expectations that are around that placement, that they're clear, they're concise, and they're reasonable, that the student's able to understand what that placement actually is all about as well. That they have some clear parameters, such as goal setting, so that, you know, they understand their own scope of practice or what's required of them while they're on placement.
That's, you know, because as you're saying, you know, a placement might just be bearable or it can be really beneficial.
But absolutely.
Also, you know, is it, you know, if there's no goals or no parameters, then it's really just marking time. I'm there and I might not actually get anything out of it. I might get my hours that I'm required to, but I'm actually not really learning anything. So that's, I think you're right on the, hit the nail on the head. It's really important.
And you know, they're able to show initiative with some of those sort of things as well. Be flexible, that they've got good communication skills, and that prepared. You know, there are sometimes requirements that the student needs to put paperwork in and evidence to go out on a placement, that they've done all of those things that they need to do, because that actually also demonstrates that they are prepared for
and
that
employability
placement.
Skills.
Absolutely. The other thing too, I think, you know, is that they are made to feel safe and valued within a culture that recognises the importance of adult learning. You know, we're going out into the workforce. We are expected to be adults. We are expected to maintain that level of work practice. And so having those sort of thoughts and preparation enables us to go out in there, but also, is it a safe environment for them to make a mistake? And are they supported in that? And if they make a mistake, how is that going to be dealt with? You know, is it going to be a learning thing, or is it actually going to be something that they're really scolded for? So it's one of those things that, you know, can make or break. The other thing that makes a good placement, I think, is the preparation of the host employer or the facility, that they understand what that placement is that the student's actually going out on, looking at their current level of training. So making sure that their placement matches what they can and can't do, that there's enough staff to actually precept the student, and that the staff to student ratio is a safe one as well. I think that, you know, the host employer is also familiar with the assessment or facilitation paperwork is also very important.
Because often, you know, there are things to be signed off for a student as part of their assessment in industry. So, yeah, you're right. They have to be really clearly defined and explained to the employer.
Yeah, and that they have a sound understanding of what that assessment criteria actually is, and that they know that, you know, if it's, say, the Bondi scale, that they know what that actually means.
Yes.
And that they're aware of the score that they give that student, and the student has also been given feedback appropriately around the scores that they're actually getting.
I think, within, you know, education, we get quite familiar with giving feedback to students, but we forget that employers and, you know, the staff at these places, they may not actually feel equipped to give feedback, even though that's part of that role. Do you find that you provide education on giving feedback?
Yes, we do. Yeah. And as an educator going into industry, I also make sure that not only am I talking to them about different sorts of feedback, I'm actually going through what the Bondi scale or whatever assessment tool we're actually using to the industry, so that they are aware of their requirements as well. Because, like you said, some people just aren't familiar with it, and it's important that they are familiar with it, because otherwise the student's being assessed inappropriately.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about before, you know, a really sound or thorough orientation. Does that include things like work health and safety, what to do when there's an injury, who to go to for help?
Yeah, for the student?
For both, for the employer and the
absolutely.
Student.
Yeah, because we want to know that if the student has actually hurt themselves during their placement, that they are looked after there, but that we are able to then provide assistance and support to the student if they need it afterwards. Because given the fact that they have also signed a vocational placement agreement between the two, we are still responsible because they're insured under our insurance as well.
So perhaps from a student's it's both. So from the student's perspective and the employer's perspective, you know, often there's limited time. You know, students, you know, when you're precepting or working with a student, you know, that takes up more of an employee's time, and, you know, it takes them longer to do their tasks, which can put pressure on the staff member. But also the student can feel under pressure as well, because, you know, I know I'm slow. I already know I'm slow. You know, as a student, we know that. We know we're not experts. So are there some tips for, you know, the preceptors or the mentors, as well as the students? You know, like I say to students, you know, if there's something that you can do independently that will help out the your buddy or your mentor, you know, it might just be doing a bit of a clean up. You know, do you talk about those things with students and employers so that they actually have more time to actually, you know, help each, you know, impart into the student?
That initiative of planning and forethought and all those sort of things, like knowing what's going to come next. And I guess that's probably some of those things that we try and embed into them in simulated scenarios as well in their assessments before they go out on placements, is actually looking at what comes next and how that's actually going to work when they're actually in industry as well. Being prepared to do the little things, you know, like you said, you're cleaning up after yourself, or thinking about, you know, what comes next. Am I going to be able to help the next person by, you know, tidying a room, or thinking about answering somebody's bell or something like that, rather than sort of actually just following around after somebody? Some of those things are really, really critical.
So what are some things students can do to make the most of a work placement?
I think probably around goal setting, then having some clear defined goals before they go out on placement, making sure that they're reasonable, they're achievable, they are key. Recognising that if a placement doesn't meet their goals, that they are able to be flexible enough to change them. And rather than going on and saying, well, I didn't get my goals met or why, and think about how they can change that and make them a bit more appropriate to the setting that they might be actually in.
So what about having check-ins with their education facility?
Yeah.
You know, so that, you know, you can find out if they're on track or if there's issues with how they're going.
So they have, where we are based, they have a clinical facilitator that actually makes contact with them at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that those facilitators are also checking in with their preceptors or the contacts in the facilities as well. They're asked a number of questions around, you know, how they're actually travelling on placement and all those sort of things as well. Actually having a facilitator making contact, you know, once a week at a minimum also makes sure that if there are problems, they're identified early.
Yeah.
What we don't want to see is a student actually getting to the end of their placement and then finding out that they're not going to be successful in a placement. It's too late. It's soul-destroying when something could have actually been put in place earlier and those students' needs could have actually been met, new goals actually made, other things actually happened so that it's a learnt scenario rather than something that actually could be quite hard.
And do you have conversations with the employer as well as the student?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we're talking with the facilities and the preceptors that are there, we're asking them, you know, how is the student going on placement? Are they actually achieving their goals? Are there any issues? Are they showing their initiative? Are they professional in the way they're actually presenting themselves? Are they wearing their uniform right? You know, are they punctual? Mm. All those sort of things that are going back again to those employability skills.
Because, really, you know, it doesn't matter what industry, you want your student to actually be able to get a job after they finish their course and their work placements.
And the idea here too is that, you know, no matter what anybody thinks, those employers are actually looking at your students and going, I want that person to come and work for me. And
it's
or
an
I don't.
Extended job interview,
it is, very much so.
Yes.
Also, you know, I find sometimes, you know, when we're talking to students about what sort of preparation they can be doing, it's the little things like, you know, how long does it take me to drive from my house to their place of employment? Mm. You know, do I have to catch a bus?
Yeah.
What bus do I have to catch? You know, how long is it going to take me? Do a dummy run before you go.
Absolutely.
And you know, so that you know where you're going, so that you're not there 15 minutes late. No, you can be there 15 minutes earlier just in case.
It's, you know, from the employer's perspective, it's not a good outcome when the student turns up late.
No.
Flustered on the first day. And it's not good for the student either, because straight away the stress levels are high and then you can't think. You don't create a good impression, one, because you're late, and two, because you're not able to actually put forward your best self either. So really good points for students.
Thank you.
Is there anything else we can do to help prepare students before they go on placement?
I think also for the student to go, know where to go if they need some help.
Yeah.
You know, if they have a contact person in their education facility, know who that education person is. And or it might be that there's information that's on their education site that has a list of things that they need to do before they go on placement, or while they're on placement, or after their placement. So knowing where to go to actually get some help is actually really important.
What about reflection? Do you teach students how to reflect and build on their current skills and knowledge before they go on placement, so that they can actually, you know, I've done this task, I did okay, but, you know, perhaps I could do better?
Yes, we do. We very much encourage students to self-reflect. And that also goes on their goals. So they set their goals as to how they want them to pan out while they're on placement. But they also have to reflect on those goals as well to make sure that they have actually managed to achieve their goals. We look at self-reflection as something that you're going to have to do in your industry every time you do something. You know, And evidence-based practice is also linked to your reflection and how things actually work as part of your assessment process as well. So our students do a lot of self-reflection. They do a lot of work against evidence-based practice and how that actually is implemented into their own scope of practice as well. So some of the other things that students can do to make the most of their own workplace as well is to speak up. So if you want to see something that is part of your placement, let people know.
Yes.
You know, yeah. So I always say to my students, when you get a job, you're actually not going to be told, would you like to come and have a look at this? Because you're actually working for them. Mm. As a student, you're in a privileged position to be able to see various things yes. across that experience, and then when you do get a job, you might not actually be yeah. in that environment where you can actually go and see that other thing happening at that time. That you've got a job to do, and you have to focus on yes. the job that you're doing. So you know, if there are opportunities to see things, to be a part of what else is happening out there, speak up
yes.
and say, could I go and have a look yeah. at that? You know, it might actually work to your advantage. Mm.
And it's good, you know, put a list of things, you know, that I can do. So students, if they write a list of these are the things I can do, mm-hmm. these are the things I'd love to observe.
Yes.
Or if these occur, can you know, just so that everyone is across what the student is able to do.
Correct.
And also, yeah. you know, just general interest about the bigger picture of the job role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So writing journals and those sort of things are also really, really good so that you can determine that if your goals, as we said, were achievable or not. The or not is also really important. Yes. So this may have occurred because the goals that were originally set weren't actually going to be achievable due to maybe the lack of insight from the student's yeah. point of view, or that the placement facility may not be able to provide that placement opportunity and so those sort of things as well.
It is important that students, I think, understand that not meeting a goal isn't always a bad thing.
No.
But that in itself is a learning opportunity.
Absolutely. But also being able to be flexible enough to change. Because, you know, in all of our environments, wherever we actually work, we have to be flexible with how we actually manage things. That's part of being able to grow and learn in our own ability to be, to work as well. You know, being able to apply our knowledge gained in the use of experiential and inquiry or problem-based learning is also really, really important. Yeah. And developing those skills in information technology, like how do we use computers? How do we use machines that are actually part of our job? And you know, some people are not very tech savvy, and if that's an issue for you, then maybe that needs to be a goal. Mm. And how do I actually implement that? We are in an era now where it's all around us, and we're using it all the time. And so, and things are changing, and that's the biggest change is our technology and how we actually use that in any sort of setting, really. I think the other thing that, you know, when we're looking at making the most out of a placement is looking professional.
Yes.
You know, if you've got a uniform, make sure that it's clean.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It's washed. It's make worn
sure you
properly.
Have several.
Yeah. Don't just rely on the one. And, you know, as we said before, make sure that you understand that the host employer is actually really looking for an employee at the end of it.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, that leads us nicely on to, you know, you have the odd student that doesn't do so well on work experience or work placement, and sometimes it's because of their abilities or their preparation, and sometimes it can be the host employer as well. But what's some tips for managing students that aren't achieving well or are underachieving on a work placement?
I think that making sure that there is a clear pathway that actually captures underachievement early.
Yeah.
That there might be a flow chart that's actually written by the education provider that is available to both the student and the host employer, so that everybody's actually on the same page. That, you know, if this is actually happening, then this needs to happen.
Yeah.
That the education facility is linked in early, so that things can happen if they need to, and processes can be put into place and interventions are put into place early rather than later. I think the other thing too is to make sure that if there is any underachievement, that you link that back to your goals.
Mm-hmm.
Or you link it back to industry standards, yeah, or something that's actually solid enough to get an outcome from if there's a problem that the student's actually occurring at the time. So when you're doing that, that you've got that evidence that if you have to put in a learning contract for the particular student, yeah, to then achieve their outcomes, then you've got that evidence to be able to do so.
What about from, like, if your host employer isn't actually overly supportive or there's issues at that end, is there any tips for people for dealing with those situations?
I think getting the clinical facilitator or the education provider in as a first instance to sort of then go through some of those things with the preceptors or the host employer, they may actually really not know what their responsibilities are.
Yeah.
And they might not know what to do with that person either. And so having that professional conversation between the education provider and the host facility is really important so that they can actually see that they're going to be supported in that role. And that the education provider is actually very appreciative of the fact that they have engaged with our student, but also letting them know that, you know, it's okay for them to actually say that this student actually is underachieving, that we don't have to pass everybody. And I think, you know, that's where we talk about that safe environment. You know, they may have provided a safe environment, but the student actually hasn't been safe in that environment. So it's that juggling thing between the two, but they all need to know that what we've got to achieve is a good, safe outcome rather than bias against one or the other.
Yeah. So all about communication.
Absolutely. Communication is key early. And, you know, it's also important to have that discussion with the student in the first place about whether there's anything else that may be contributing to their underperformance. And
so, you know, the outside, outside of the study, outside of the host employee, you know, there can be a multitude of things going on that impact
that's
a person's performance.
Yeah, home life, work life, financial impacts, you know, remembering that most placements are unpaid, and therefore can put a burden on that student as well. To they might not have paid leave, they might be, you know, they've got a whole heap of other things actually happening at home. But trying to actually juggle those things can be very difficult for students, and it might be that this is actually not a good time to have a placement, and therefore that conversation, communication, again comes back to, if this is not a good time, then maybe we leave it and you do a placement at another time.
Yeah, and often, you know, students get really anxious about placements because I've got to, this is part of my course, I have to get it done. And they don't look at the bigger picture that, you know, a delay of 3, 6, even 12 months, you know, extending their course a little so that they can actually manage these things, you know, like financial constraints and life, you know, kids and childcare. You know, that, just that lifting that pressure can actually make placement successful. So talking to them about, you know, is now a good time and what difference would it make if we waited? I think they're...
Allowing the student to make those decisions as well is a good, but giving them options to be able to have control over their learning and their environment as well.
Especially if their peers are moving on, you know, the rest of the group are moving on and, you know, I've got all this other stuff going on in my life and this isn't a good time, but I feel like I've got to do it. So, yeah, those conversations, I think, are really worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Because you want them to succeed.
I do, yeah, absolutely. And it's great to watch them succeed, and but you have to recognise that they don't all grow at the same time. They all are different. Everybody's individual with the way they actually learn and how they take on different things as well.
So you've been in education for a while. What changes have you seen around work placement in the last 10 years or over time?
I think that the links between industry and education have changed for the better. I think particularly in our industry, what we're seeing is that the facilitators that are supporting our students actually are also working in the industry as well, and therefore able to understand the requirements of what it is to be the nurse or the health provider for that particular industry. I think that we have been able to utilise these people a lot more in our practice as far as linking those things to placement and facilitation. I think we've probably become a little bit more savvy in the way we look at placement.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's gone from that requirement to the bridging to what it is to actually be that person in industry. Yeah. I think we've incorporated a lot around the professionalism of what it is to work in industry and how we link that back more to...
Rather than just doing some hours because you have to.
Yeah, and I think, you know, having that focus of what it is to be whatever I'm going to be as far as my placement goes also has impacted on how the student has performed as well in that industry requirement as well.
So just to finish up, what are some common pitfalls or problems you see both from an employer or the host and also from the student when they're on placement?
Yeah, I think sometimes students are used as an extra worker instead of being supernumerary to the workforce, and that does create quite a few problems. I think staffing levels are often lower and the students don't get the opportunity to work with the person best suited to them and their learning outcomes. That students and host employers don't understand at times what the placement requirements actually are, like who's to sign various documents and what their responsibilities are around signing of documents. I think sometimes we find that students are not ready or prepared for placement. Yeah. They may not have attended the pre-placement meetings, or they don't know what's expected of them. And then when that happens, they're very much on the back foot to then be able to complete a successful placement. Yeah. I think sometimes, you know, the host employers don't know why they're actually there. And we've had sometimes, you know, if students have turned up and they weren't expecting them, or the person that was supposed to be there to meet them wasn't available to meet them. And so being prepared for the student is really important. Going back to what we first said, you know, what makes a good placement is having that welcoming person there. Sometimes when that doesn't happen,
it's scary going on places, especially your very first one.
Because, you know, everything's new. You've learned all these things and you want to put it into practice, and it's really exciting. But you know, when you're met with someone who doesn't want you there or doesn't feel that, you know, it's their job to actually do this for you, can actually either make or break your experience as to whether you even continue in that field or not.
Thank you so much for sharing your experiences around placement.
Thanks, Kate.
And I'm sure our listeners are going to take away some great tips for, you know, supporting their students and employers for placements in the future. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.